Compassion is my religion, and my purpose will always be love. I'm Neva Kochava. Over the years of helping others realize who they are, what they genuinely desire, and how to reach their goals, I've seen a commonality that I believe is a major cause that can hinder us from experiencing the breakthroughs and life changes, especially long-term changes that we truly want and need in order to fulfill our purpose, reach the goals, and live the dream. Often, it's not because we don't try. We all have had experiences in our lives that impact us to one degree or another. I know that specifically traumatic events that happen to us or even around us can get overlooked and perhaps even undervalued. We're taught to push through difficulties. We're told we're survivors. And in our fast-paced society, we can often look for a quick fix, if anything. This may work for the short term, but old familiar patterns can reoccur, pain resurfaces, and it's not uncommon to get discouraged and begin to lose hope or faith. I want you to know that wherever you are in the process, whatever your experiences have been along the way, your journey is just that. It's a journey. And you can't get it wrong, and it's not your fault. And there is hope, and there is help. We all do the best we can. I truly believe that. And I'm committed to what I believe in. And I believe in you. I also believe through our experiences, we're better able to understand, help, and support each other. For this reason, it's my great privilege and pleasure to introduce to you my longtime dear friend, Elle Miller. It's through her personal experiences, with great heart and compassion, Elle has cultivated spaces that acknowledge the pains, traumas, and sorrows of life, while guiding individuals toward awareness of their own potential and possibility. She's a trauma-informed yoga therapist, therapeutic yoga instructor and specialist. She's a spiritual director and supervisor, educator, advocator, and she's an amazing mother. Through her practice, she's helped reshape the lives of so many individuals. She's written numerous articles for Thrive Global, Addicted to Success, Mind Journal, and she's an author. Her book, which is titled Amazement, Reclaiming the Brilliance of Wonder, is absolutely beautiful and heartfelt. I recommend it to anyone as a companion along the journey. I know this is for you right now. She's so refreshing, and you're going to be blessed. Elle, thank you so much for joining me today to reach out to the hearts and to the needs of those listening. I just want to welcome you.
Neva, thank you so much. It is a deep pleasure and privilege to be with you in doing this work.
Oh, it's amazing, and I'm so glad you're here. And, you know, I would love for you to tell us a little bit about your journey and how you got where you are today.
Yeah, you know, if you had asked me even 7 years ago, would I be where I am in this moment? I had no paradigm. And I share that because there's often times in life where we come to a fork in the road or even a dead end, and we have no idea of what the next step is going to be.
Right.
And what I found in those moments is that if we'll pause, if we'll let those steps happen, then transformation and magic happen. And I did. I came to the end of my rope, I had been in faith-based organizations for over 25 years, in a very specific paradigm of thought. I had emerged from a family of origin story that is just full of trauma. And I really didn't have the cognizance or presence of personhood. I used to describe myself as a sieve, and that things would come in, but they would go out because there were so many holes. Or I would say, I'm a building, but I have scaffolding all around me because I need something outside of myself to hold myself together. I had learned a strategy as a child of dissociation to survive events, situations, and circumstances that I was living. And basically, that's leaving the body, perhaps even leaving some level of consciousness to be able to survive. And so inhabiting my body and being willing to be aware in real time and feel emotions wasn't anything I ever learned how to do. Because I was always stuck in avoidance and survival.
And that's a lot of us, too. I think yeah. That's a big issue. And do you find that that is going on with others that you have helped?
I think, you know, the human being is so intelligent. The dignity of humanity is so brilliant that we do. We figure out how to survive. Mm-hmm. And yet, then we get to a place in life where the very things that we used to survive then become the very obstacles and hindrances towards health and thriving.
Right.
And that's what somewhat happened with me. I had a therapist who suggested I try yoga. And I was so uncoordinated. I felt dumpy in my body, but I trusted this therapist, and so I didn't watch a YouTube video, I didn't read a book, I went straight to a studio,
right.
And truly, Neva, I became a fish to water.
It's beautiful.
Yoga, the movement, the breath, the, you know, yoga as a word means union. And what you're bringing together is body, breath, and awareness. And as I would get on my mat, the yoga instructor would welcome us into the class for that day. And she would say something I never had heard before. She would say, "It's your body, your practice."
Wow. That's huge.
It is huge. It is huge. Because for me, as I wonder for so many of your listeners, so many hands, and I don't just mean physically, I'm talking emotionally, spiritually, intellectually, so many hands had claimed my body for their own, claimed my mind or my heart or my core of me for their own.
Right.
But to have somebody say, no, it's your body.
Wow.
It was incredible. Those moments I will never forget.
That's really, really amazing. So in from where you are now, tell us how you got from there to where you are today.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite stories. So I became a student of yoga. I literally was going every day or every other day. And as you said, I am a mother and I have six children. And the two youngest were seeing their mom go to yoga class. And they wanted to come. And there was not a children's yoga class within an hour radius of where I lived. And so, like any mom in the 21st century, I Google searched how to teach kids yoga. And to make a long story short, I thought I would only ever take 30 hours, a weekend course, to teach yoga to children. But that 30 hours became a 200-hour yoga teacher training, which became a whole year of taking specialty trainings, which then became 2 years of over 1,000 hours of training to become a yoga therapist.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's passion.
Yeah. And I share that story, and I love sharing that story, because the essence of childlikeness has kind of gotten squashed in our society. And yet the potency and the power of childlikeness is really that secret ingredient.
Right. So important, because it's our ability to imagine and to dream and to be.
Yes. Yes. You know, reading in literature, some of my favorite stories, right, are Lewis Carroll's poem of the Jabberwocky. We have a boy killing beasts, right? And even in today's day and age, we must all look at the story of the Emperor's New Clothes. But in that story, it is a child on the parade route that's willing to say, but Mom, the Emperor's naked.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so it's those kinds of things. It's like, I don't know if you or your listeners have ever done alpine, downhill skiing. But I used to be an avid skier, but I loved watching those itty-bitty 2, 3, 4-year-olds, right? Going down these massive slopes. They're so close to the ground that they're fearless. And when they fall, they just pop right back up.
Right. That's amazing.
It is amazing. It is amazing. We watch the essence of childlikeness, the courage, the strength, like you spoke of, the imagination, to infuse life with that, you know, and that curiosity. What were my children doing? They were being curious. Mamas go in to do this thing, and we love our mom, and we want to be with her, so we want to go do this thing, too.
They're open.
Right? Yeah.
Now, what do you find is the most prevalent issue that we as individuals struggle with?
You know, Neva, I did not expect to be touched with such emotion upon being asked this question. But this is my passion. So my company has been called Living Mongoliso. And Mongoliso is Zulu for "You are an amazement." And when I heard you ask me that question, this is what I would say. Whether it's the children I've worked with from the ages of 5 and younger, to the adults that I've worked with in the ages of 92, the capacity of a human being to own their own amazement, to stand in the brilliance and boldness and beauty of who they are, to be able to take up space and not play small. That, and I see it, you know, I work with all ages, all spectrums, all socioeconomic classes, and it doesn't matter, Neva, it doesn't matter whether the person is the chairman of the board or a kindergartner. That same need for a deep breath, for feeling the soles of your feet underneath you, for feeling that sense of personhood amidst the anxieties and stresses and pressures of the world we live in, they all come and chip away at our sense of self and being.
Right.
And so that's, I would say, is the most prevalent issue. for all of us is, can we be no more and no less than that which we are? Not pompous and arrogant and ego-driven, but also not playing small.
Right. And how do we get back? You know, when you say that, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, and how do we get back to ourselves?
That is a brilliant question. You're so good at this.
I'm absorbing everything you're saying, so it's amazing.
So just even what we're doing now, pausing, it's not that I'm not answering the question. It's that I believe in practices. Mm-hmm. So I find it really fascinating that when individuals are being trained to understand counterfeit realities, such as a dollar bill or something, they're not given the thousands upon thousands of variations of counterfeits that have been made. Mm-hmm. They are given the authentic to study and to know. And so how do we regain that sense of self? Mm-hmm. How do we get to a place where we're taking deeper breaths, feeling the soles of our feet underneath us, living in our amazement? It really is by taking the time to acquaint ourselves with ourselves as we are and how we are. Mm-hmm. Both the brilliance and the shadow side. Both the things that we love to put forward and show people, and the things that might frighten us to show people.
Right.
You see, we play small, not normally intentionally, but maybe we've learned it's important to not be seen. Mm-hmm. Maybe being seen had its hurdles, its obstacles, its pain points.
Right?
And so when we allow ourselves to really know ourselves, to know our strengths and our weaknesses, and to admit maybe we do feel shame, maybe we are embarrassed, maybe we do feel timid, all of that gets to be okay too.
Right.
Because that fills up the canvas. All of it fills up the canvas. And when we're willing to build a relationship with ourselves, acquainting ourselves with ourselves, allow awareness of who it is that we are in our strengths, our weaknesses, our edges, our challenges, then we can touch acceptance and go from there.
Right. And that's a huge, huge part of the journey, is learning, instead of self-avoidance, self-acceptance. It goes beyond awareness. You know, we hear a lot about self-aware, but self-acceptance, to me, just feels deeper. It feels more intimate and authentic. So I really like that you are saying that. It feels really good. So how does this affect us personally when we find ourselves able to accept ourselves, to accept the good and the things that we... I think there's judgment in that, you know, where we've judged it not being good, because to me there is no right or wrong, good or bad.
Exactly. We've put labels on these things.
Mm-hmm.
Right, versus just learning from them.
Right.
Anger isn't good or bad, it's anger.
Right.
If we look at anger and we're like, oh, this is what it looks like, this is what it feels like, this is what it sounds like, these are the choices that I sometimes make when I'm angry. Ah, okay. I can learn to know anger and not be intimidated by it.
Right.
Yeah.
Or even judge yourself. I shouldn't be angry. I should behave a different way. You know, I hear that a lot. No, it's self-acceptance.
So. Absolutely. And here's what I get to watch day in and day out. mm-hmm. with my clients is the process becomes a claiming and a reclaiming of that sense of self. For some people, it isn't a reclaiming because they've never actually claimed being a person. And so for them, it's claiming and reclaiming that sense of self through exploration and discovery mm. of preference, of choices, mm-hmm. of learning about themselves. And then as they learn about themselves through that discovery and exploration process, they begin to find expressions that feel congruent with who they are. Mm-hmm. And as they grow in that confidence of feeling that congruency within them, then they expand ever more mm-hmm. into that expression, into that sense of self.
Right.
And, you know, even in, as my website says, it can be as simple as your very next breath.
Mm, I love that. And it's so yeah. true. We make things so complicated sometimes. But I think that connecting to self and accepting self helps us so much in connecting with everything else. You know, whether it's the like you say, the ground under our feet, or somebody sitting across from us, or, you know, whatever it is, we can start to expand and accept others and accept what is.
Yeah.
So how do you lead your clients? How do you lead people through this process? Is there a particular way that you show somebody?
Yeah. So in my practice, it isn't prescriptive. Mm-hmm. And so there is a lens and a framework through which I work, but it's really the person showing up and me showing up. And there are breath exercises, there are spaces of movement and meditation, and it's inviting the person into a space of exploration of sensation that happens within the physical body, the mental spaces, emotional spaces, the energy spaces, in those places of learning how to discern and feel out sensation and to experience yourself and have a direct experience of present moment awareness of yourself. It really does simply burst light bulbs, mm-hmm. right? As mm-hmm. you inhale and lift right arm, and the right fingertips start reaching for the ceiling, and I cue the person to feel that stretch from fingertip to wrist, from wrist to elbow, elbow to shoulder, and to once again take a deeper breath, inhale and lift and stretch and feel that stretch going all the way down, perhaps even through their side body to the bottom of their right heel, and to notice. Then I ask, what's happening now? What do you notice? Mm-hmm. And a whole variety of answers happen. You know, one of my favorite experiences was as a student, we do these student exchanges because we're learning how to use typical yoga postures in a new way. Mm-hmm. And so I was the receiver, and my fellow student was leading me in this posture. And all of a sudden, I felt these sensations in my body. But this picture came into my head, Neva. Wow. And it was of a parrot, a bird, the mm-hmm. parrot, sitting on a handlebars of a bicycle. And so here I was taking a deeper breath, and I was stretching my body, and all of a sudden this picture is in my mind's eye. Mm-hmm. But you know what flowed from seeing that picture? This statement. I have been peddling out parroted answers all my life. And my body finally found a way to tell me in a way that I could hear and receive and then do something about.
Wow, that is powerful. It's life changing.
Yes. Yeah. You know, and it's such a beautiful redemptive reality. that the very entity that received the abuse, the neglect, the harm, our physical bodies, mental, emotional bodies, becomes the very avenue and tool for its healing.
I'm just absorbing, you know.
Yeah.
Really absorbing what you're saying.
Yeah. And you know, the effect that all of this has on our lives is that we wake up. We're more conscious. I'll tell you, as a yoga therapist, I see a yoga therapist. And I will never forget the moment where towards the end of my session, I felt a calm in my mind. A level of calm that I had never experienced. And I remember saying to my yoga therapist, oh my goodness, I feel like Pinocchio. I feel like a real girl. I feel real.
Wow.
Like the Velveteen Rabbit, like Pinocchio. Hmm. I felt real. Real and calm in ways that I didn't even know. And I'm turning 49 soon. And this was just like 6 months ago, a year ago.
Wow.
And I felt this level of calm and realness of personhood.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the effect that I get to see. That people get to live more thoroughly in their own amazement because they've beaten back the realities of doubt, anxiety, fatigue, depression. They've been able to assimilate deeper breaths and a new felt strength in their musculature and really step in to a sense of self.
Right, and that sounds like it goes beyond self-acceptance. There's a connection. That's the coming back to self. That's the returning to self. The connecting, you know, like, I'm home.
I love what you just said. I love it. I'm home. I'm home.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to rest in your body.
Yes.
Without feeling vigilant. You know, we could talk science and the sympathetic nervous system, the parasympathetic nervous system, the things that we learn when we're in a trauma situation about fight, flight, freeze, fawn, or faint.
Right.
And then with this modality, people learn truly how to rest and digest and how to come home to their bodies without that stress and vigilance and tension. And it is. It's magnificent. I love using the word transformational. It is brilliant, and it truly transformational.
Right. So the difference between what you're talking about in yoga therapy, you say that it's trauma. How do you describe what you do?
So it's trauma-informed yoga therapy.
Mm-hmm. How does that differ from, say, I just to go take a yoga class?
Excellent question. And so yoga therapy becomes this dual process of in real time moving body, taking those deeper breaths, growing in that awareness, but it's slowing it all down. So in a yoga class, there maybe is a flow. There's dozens of different ways yoga can be taught. And it's exercise and it's meditative and it's, you know, full of stretch and wonderful things. When you take it to the realm of yoga therapy, it becomes this definitely more of a one-on-one space, although I do groups. And it becomes this interactive, watchful process where the body is in the therapeutic container. And the person is having a real time, a direct experience of that present moment awareness. Something akin to like when I shared about the arm, right? Lifting the arm. And so a yoga teacher might just cue, lift the arm, take a breath, exhale, bring the arm down.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to use the experience of that stretch in a more therapeutic reality, in a more therapeutic way.
Okay, right. Well, that makes a lot of sense, and so it is a more intricate, more delicate process, I would say.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is amazing. Elle, how can our listeners find you? I want them to be able to reach out to you, and how do they find you?
So my brand new website is launching this very week, so this is very cool. It is ldmiller.com. So ellevmiller.com. And I'm on Facebook under L. Miller, and my anthem is Living Mongoliso, and there is a Facebook page, Living Mongoliso, on the web as well, and so primarily through those modalities, my website and social media.
That's beautiful. As I know, you've got articles that you've written. I think those are on your website as well. A lot of information is available there. So, really appreciate that. And I want to thank you so much for your work and your service, and thank you for your awareness and compassion toward others. And it's truly heartfelt, because you not only communicate with depth, but your words translate through the energy of love. And for this, I am deeply grateful. I could listen to you all day. You know, it's just so much fun.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on your podcast. It truly is a privilege and an honor, and just fun to be able to do this with you.
Well, thank you, and let's do it again. I would love to have you back, and maybe you can...
Absolutely.
Would you lead us through a process, maybe, or something next time, and just you can experience maybe some of what you're talking about, and, you know, just get an idea of what that looks like.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
That would be fun.
You and I will talk.
Okay. Oh, I'd like to end with a quote from Max Dupree. He said, "We need to give each other space to grow, to be ourselves, to exercise our diversity. We need to give each other space so that we may give and receive such beautiful things as ideas, openness, dignity, joy, healing, and inclusion." Thank you so much, Elle.
Thank you.
And as always, I believe in you. Until next time, Shalom.